Look in your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles this morning, the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And again, I'm so glad you're here, but most of all, I'm glad the Lord's here. Amen. And I sure appreciate the good choir singing, then the special music today. I tell you that, those kinds of songs just help get our attention, our affection, I set upon the Lord. I get it off the world for a little while and just get our attention on Jesus Christ. And that is why we're here today. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you're willing and able to stand this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, I've been in my personal devotions. I studied and read through 1 and 2 Kings, and then about a month or so ago began reading and meditating in 1 Chronicles. And I'll be real honest, talk just from the physical standpoint, the man's standpoint a moment. When I turned in my Bible that first morning, 1 Chronicles chapter 1, I said, oh, genealogies. I'm just being honest, I just all them names that you can't pronounce half of them. I'm glad for Bill and Terry and Gary and Ben. Thank God for simple names, amen. These Bible names can get tough. And when I saw that, I said, no, Lord, I bowed my head. I really did. I said, Lord, I don't want to go at this as genealogies. I know there's something you can teach me and show me. And boy, God began opening this book up. And when I came here to chapter 12, it really opened up to a thought. And I've been several weeks ago now, and God on Friday began touching my heart afresh with this chapter. And I want to try to help us that are saved as we face a world that is not Christ-friendly and is not Christian-friendly. The world doesn't like you. I think you have figured that out. The news media is not a friend of the church, nor of anybody that wants to do right. Say amen right there. They're not interested in encouraging. They're trying to discourage. That's right. But I'm glad we got the Bible to help us along this journey. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and I'll begin reading verse 1, and we'll skip through the chapter. Want to look at some verses today. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible said, now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Then look at verse 8. The Bible says, and the Gadites there separate themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. Then skip down to verse number 23. Verse 23, the Bible said, and these are the number of the bands that were ready armed to war and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to heel according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed to the war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. And Zadok, a young man mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 20, and two captains, and the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000, for hitherto the greatest part of them had kept the word of the house of Saul, and the children of Ephraim, 20,800, mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers, and the half-tribe Manasseh, 18,000, which expressed by name to come and make David king, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, and with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. Of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them was shield and spear, 37,000. And the Danites, expert in war, 28,600. And of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. And on the other side of Jordan, of the Reubenites and the Gadites, and the half-tribe Manasseh, with all manner of instruments of war for the battle, and 120,000. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity one more time to stand and open the word of God. I pray now for just a little while, you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. I pray, give me unction of the Holy Ghost. I pray you'll strengthen my voice, strengthen my body today. Open up the minds and hearts of the listener. May the word of God find its resting place. Help us to serve you. I pray for that that's lost, that you convict them and save them. And everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 8 this morning, where the Bible says, and of the Gadites there separate themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose face were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. I'm interested in a few words in the middle of the verse. Those words are fit for the battle. How to preach, God helping me just a minute on being fit for the battle. Being fit for the battle. Understand again this morning that we are in a warfare. This is not make-believe. We are not here just taking up space and taking up time, but we're here to prepare ourselves for the battle that rages in our world today. I remind you that it is a spiritual warfare. Everything we see, the protests, the uproar in our land and around the world, has its seedbed in spiritual warfare. Hey, there is a real war. Amen. Have three things as introduction. Number one, the warfare's real. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Friend, it is a spiritual war that we're fighting. It is not a war of flesh and blood. Now, if it was, we know more about natural warfare than we do spiritual warfare. But we find it is a spiritual war, that it's real. Somebody said, preacher, it seemed like I do fine a while, and then it's like I'm oppressed. It says, though I'm loaded down, it's the war. It's a spiritual onslaught of hell that you and I face every single day. It doesn't matter if you're a new convert or if you've been saved 50 or plus years. There is a war raging, and many times we find ourselves loaded down and beat down by the war. It's a real war. Let me say number two. This war is rugged. For the Bible declares to us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Ladies and gentlemen, our enemy is crafty. Our enemy is underhanded. Our enemy is relentless in his attack. I wished I could get up here today and tell you when we had the invitation that you'd have this war licked. But I'd be lying. And that crowd on television that had you believe that getting saved ends all your problems and there's no more struggle, they're liars. Are you hearing me? Your struggle, your war really began the moment that you got saved. Before you were saved, you were lost on the broad way, headed to a Christless hell. And friend, there's no battle because you're just doing what's natural out to the flesh, and that's committing sin. But when you got saved, you now have a resurrected new man on the inside. That's why you wanted to be here today. I woke up this morning. I didn't have to wonder what day of the week it was. I knew, as far as I'm concerned, the best day of the week. Hey, there's something about getting to go to church that excites me and helps me in this spiritual warfare. Oh, friend, today I want us to be fit for the battle, because you're in a battle. You know, let me say something here. Use natural things just a minute to relate some spiritual truth. You don't have a person join the military and give them a gun and say, all right, go do your job. You don't do that. There's some things take place before he ever does anything. Amen. And I'm going to say in this spiritual war, it ain't just get saved and get out. You need to grow. You need to learn. Amen. Hey, the Christian life's a life of learning. If you know everything, pray for the rest of us. Because we've not arrived. Well, hey, half time, I ain't even sure what the questions are, let alone giving the answers. Amen. Well, ladies, there's a battle raging, and we need to be ready for the war. There's three things that will help us in being fit for the battle. And they're simple truth, but they're powerful truth. Can I say, first of all, what will help you be fit for the battle is drilling. Just some training. I thought as I read this chapter, and yes, even back in chapter 11, about mighty men of valor. Men of war, men that were skilled with sling and stone and spear and sword and javelin and their shield, how they were trained, they were experts with their weaponry. The Bible tells us there in verse 8 that these men are men of might, men of war, that could handle shield and buckler. Hey, they had some experience with it. Amen. In verse 33, it said this, these men of Zebulun, which could keep rank. Also in verse 38, it said of all of them, all these men of war that could keep rank. Now, I thought something the last several days as I had this text stirred in my heart about military training, how they make a march, but they don't march in war. Why then do they go through all this drilling? Left foot, right, left, forward, backward. What is all that about? It is them getting used to not calling the shots. Can I help us right here? You know why most Christians are so bewildered this morning? They want to call the shots. We have a commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Preacher was shot. I thought about Joshua in the book of Joshua when they came through the Red Sea. Who appeared to Joshua in the night season? It was the captain of the Lord's host. Who's that, preacher? That's Jesus Christ himself. And he let Joshua know, because Joshua asked him, whose side you on? Hey, amen. I'd say if I seen somebody like the captain of the Lord's host, I'd probably want to know whose side you on too. But the captain of the Lord's host says, can I just say it in plain a country language? He said this, I didn't come to pick sides. I came to take over. Amen. Hey, if we let the captain call the shots, if we just fall in line and follow him, friend, this battle's a lot better if we follow the leader. Amen. They could keep rain. They practice with these sword and shield and sling. Matter of fact, verse 2 said these men could use both the right hand and the left, hit hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. I thought about something. Hear me now. I'm trying to help us today. This may not be red letter day, but it'll be a good day. Because you need to grow. You need to be ready for the battle that you and I are in this morning. This Bible, listen to me. This Bible teaches us about some drills. There's things we're to do every day. Can I say part of our drills is praying? Now, I'll help you right here. I know some people have you believing every time you get to bow your head and pray that things just automatically happen. But there are going to be days in your prayer life that it seems the heavens are brass. Well, preacher, then why are we praying? Training. Training, understanding of the spiritual war that, and by the way, when you're praying, you have entered into the enemy's territory. For he is the principality and power of what? The air. Friend, the hardest battles you'll ever fight will be in that secret place where you're gonna, hey, God's trained me in a lot of things in the prayer closet. Amen. Can I help you young preachers just a minute? And I'm not trying to bring doom and gloom to you, but you're in for some dark days. I found in as a young preacher and still finding out now as a seasoned preacher, ladies and gentlemen, that God has taught me some things in that prayer place. I know it is from months to go by and the heavens seem like a brass. I know it is to preach and have prayed and studied it and believe in my heart, got the message God wants, and yet battle the whole time that I've preached it. It's going to happen. You're going to face strong battles now like no other generation before. Every one of us. Friend, there's a battle. Hey, and God's training you in that place of prayer. Your prayer life is more important than you know. It's not just something we do so we say we done it. Amen. You know, that's why there's a battle. That's why there's training in that prayer place. It's because every time we spoke, it just happened. We'd get so accustomed to that. We'd get spoiled to that. That's right. And we wouldn't take very serious our prayer life. But friend, there's the drilling of praying. Hey, then there's the drilling of reading and studying your Bible. Hey, you in the military, you can back me up on this. You that's been there. There is a time they teach you to take your weapon apart and how to put it back together. They teach you how to set the sights on it. They teach you how to carry it, how to treat it, how to fire it. They go through every step there is with that weapon. Can I ask everybody a question? How acquainted are you with your weapon? How acquainted are you with this weapon? You, back there in Ephesians 6, I read a moment ago, letting us be reminded of the war, and it talked about put on the whole armor of God. Do you realize and remember the only offensive weapon that's mentioned in all the verses dealing with that armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But the sad thing is, a lot of church folk have got where they neglect their Bible. I'm preaching this morning so simple that some will say, he just didn't have time to give us nothing new. I'm giving you what's best. I'm giving you what'll help you. If you get back in the book, you can have some victory along this battle. Amen. Most folk don't know the Bible. Some have been saved 40 years and you still only know the books of the Bible. Yeah, I'm gonna let you get real quiet right there, because I know it's so. We ought to be acquainted with this blessed old book. We ought, hey, the longer you're saved, the more you should have read through it. All of us. Somebody says, I don't believe in just reading. You ought to read. You'd be amazed what reading will do. Because reading will lead to studying. And studying will lead to meditating. And meditating will lead to changing. Amen. We won't have a victorious Christian life without this book, and it ain't going to happen. Amen. This is your weapon. This is the only weapon Satan's scared of. This is the only weapon the demons of hell have to tremble and bow down before. It ain't your word. It ain't the church's word. It's God's word. Amen. Hey, the weapon, get trained in it. Read it. Love it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Hey, this is the sword of the Spirit today. Hey, we're trained also. Hey, get this. This one's deep. Go over your head. You ain't careful. Church attendance. Wow. Church attendance. Hey, do you notice in the military they don't set their own time? Hey, man, I've heard a lot of folks say, I was so tired, mom and dad tell me what to do. I'd join the Marines. Hey, man, I'm telling you, after they wake up about the first day getting screamed at, they figure, I don't know if it's a good idea or not. Amen. But you know what? They have days, they have scheduled things each day. That's why we have to have church. Amen. Somebody said, well, I can live just as good staying home. No, you can't. You've never done it before, and you're not going to start now. Because if all you do stay home, you ain't going to pray like you should. You won't read your Bible like you should. Are you hearing me? Hey, that's why people go to church and they critique everything and they don't like the preacher and don't like the deacons, don't like the Sunday school teacher. Because they sat around and they soaked the world up all week. And when they go to spiritual things, they can't go there because they ain't been in the book. Amen. Hey, we need the house of God. This is good training ground. Why do you think every now and then the Spirit of God in the service leads folk to begin to testify? You say, well, that's so the preacher can get a break. I don't believe that one minute. Because I ain't never had a break one time as a preacher. You get it on, I'm as nervous in testimony meeting as I am preaching. Because I'm worried somebody's going to jump up and kill it. That's right now. Now, you can be more spiritual than that, you ought to, but I'm just being honest. Amen. But you know what's happening? You know why God leads people to testify? So you'll be ready to testify out there. It's not about us impressing each other with our testimonies. It's about us getting the courage to stand up around brothers and sisters in Christ that when we're out before a lost world that hates us and hates our God and hates the church, that we'll still have courage to stand and to testify Christ out there. Amen. There's much need of being in the church. Much need, much more as you see the day approach. Hey, it's more necessary now than it's ever been. Amen. You see, to be fit for the battle, there's drilling. Number two, there's dedication. Look with me at some verses here. Verse 8, the Bible said in the latter part, whose faces were like the faces of lions. Then look there at verse number 33. The Bible says there, the last part, they were not of double heart. Verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart. Hey, to be fit for the battle, to be able to fight the good fight of faith, to earnestly contend for the faith, we must be dedicated to Christ and the things of God. Amen. Christ got to be first in your life. These men, now we don't understand, all honesty, we do not understand as we read the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, as men became king and the people began to pull it. We don't quite understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, if the country didn't pull in, he was dead in the water to start with. And ladies and gentlemen, all these are listed in chapter 11 and chapter 12 have dedicated their life to David being the king. Amen. Hey, you know what's going to help you? Being dedicated. I made up my mind a long time ago. Lord, I'm yours. I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. Hey, I made up my mind, purpose in my heart. I'd be dedicated to Jesus Christ. I love my preacher brethren. I really do. I thank God for my preacher friends. But I'm going to tell you, if they don't like what I'm doing, as long as the commander-in-chief likes what I'm doing, that's all matters. Amen. I'm not answerable to them. They're not barking the orders. Amen. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, what these men had faces like the faces of a lion. They were dedicated. Hey, they didn't care what came or went. They were going to stand with the king. Amen. Hey, can I say this? You're going to need to be dedicated in these days like never before. You can't be wishy-washy. That's good country talk. Amen. See, here's the problem with a lot of folk today, even right here at Gateway and every other church in America. They got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Amen. They got one hand with the Lord and the other hand they're trying to hang on to this world, and they're in a tug of war. People wonder why they're being beat about. Quit being in the tug of war and choose a side. Amen. Be dedicated to Christ. Put him first in your life. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, that dedication to him will keep you going when nothing's going right. Amen. Hey, I promise you in the ministry there are dark days, but I'm glad I'm with the commander-in-chief, and I know he does right. Amen. Hey, there's the drills that we got to help us be fit. There's the dedication. But then let me say this also, I find in verse 8, there's the daring. The daring. If you're going to be fit for battle, you're going to have to be daring. The Bible said, whose faces were like the face of the lion, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to be real honest with you, apart from you probably hearing me say it. I doubt you have heard it in a very long time. I don't even hear preachers in meetings or radio or TV making this statement much anymore. There was a day this was preached out all the time. Here's the statement. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a mighty man of valor. Amen. They ain't a lot of daring people. They're daring in foolishness. Hello? You hear me? They're real daring in foolishness. You know the redneck's famous last words? Watch this. Yeah, you know that one, don't you? But we need to dare to be as these mighty men of valor. We need to dare to be like Daniel when they said you got to eat this and you got to do that. We've got to be daring in our heart that we're going to do what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says to do and nothing else. Amen. Hey, daring. Back in chapter 11, man, I read this. There's some preaching there in verses 15 down through 19. We find that they're in the cave of Adullam with King David, and the Philistines are in Bethlehem. And David said, oh, that I could have a drink out of the well of Bethlehem. And there's three mighty men who said, we're getting it. We're going to go get that water. We're going to Bethlehem. We ain't going to go halfway and then come back and say we went to Bethlehem. But we're going to Bethlehem to get that water out of the well. And we're bringing it back for the king. Amen. They had to put their lives in danger to go get that water. We got this idea. The Christian life's all easy. And it's not all easy. But we got to be daring if we're going to do something for the Lord. Someone said you need to attempt great things for God and do great things. That's right, but you're going to have to be daring before you ever tempt it. Amen. As long as you're afraid of what the brethren say, long as you're concerned, do I have the approval of Daddy Rabbit? Hello? No, you're going to have to be daring. You're going to have to say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do it. It ain't all easy, but it's all right. Amen. Hey, can I say something? Hey, even as I read about them being daring for that water, when David wouldn't even drink it, he poured it out as a drink offering to the Lord. Those men didn't get mad. You'll go home and read it today. He pours the water out. And they don't kick the ground and pitch a fit. Man, he wanted that water and we got shot at. And we crawled through the briar patches and we had to do all this, that, and the other. And he poured it out. No, they said, if David wants to pour it out, let him pour it out. If he wants another drink, well, go back and do it again. Amen. Hey, God don't always have to make sense. It just does us well to obey. Amen. Hey, dare to be as these mighty men. Dare to be as Daniel. Hey, if you want to be fit for the battle, you're going to have to do these things. There's no way around it. Hey, you know what? I'm about done. I'm about done with this message. And I'll start an invitation. But you hear me right here. Hear me real good right here. For a lot of people that hear this, whether it's by internet or right here, for some folk, they said, well, that wasn't much. Ain't much of a message. You're already defeated. And you don't even know you're defeated. That's what's sad. Because I'm telling you, this is the need of our day. We need to understand about warfare. We've had it good for a long time in America. You hearing me? And therefore, we don't have that fight, that drive that our forefathers had. When they came to this country, they had to cut it out. They had to, it was live or die. Amen? And most folk today, everybody look up here. Everybody look up here just a minute. The majority of people in America are existing. They're not living. And here's the sad thing, hear me now. And the church world is in survival mode. We're not daring, we're not going forward. We're just trying to survive. We've made the wagons in a circle, and we're going to protect the circle, but we're not adventuring out trying to get no more ground. Hello. Amen. Hey. I'm pillowing my head on that couch this afternoon. Take my Sunday nap, knowing I was in the will of God preaching this morning. If you don't respond right, hey, that's you and God. But I preach what God the Holy Ghost said to preach this morning. Amen. Hey, there's a battle raging. What you doing in it? What's going on? Amen. Hey, let's be fit for the battle. Let's be mighty men and women of valor for the glory of God. Do something for God in these last days. Amen. I want to bring Him glory, don't you? Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for attention of souls this morning. Father, I pray You'd help us to hide Your Word in our heart that we might not sin against Thee. Lord, You've been so good to us. God, You're better to us than we deserve. We ought to be in hell, but God, You gave us mercy and grace. You saved us. And Lord, I'm asking You now, Lord, I'm asking You this morning to help us as the children of God, Lord, that we'd step up and be those mighty men of valor. Lord, this is these mighty men of David. Lord, we love You. Thank You for first loving us. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed, I've done my best to preach exactly what the Lord put on my heart today. I wonder, now I'm not really preaching to lost people, but God, the Holy Ghost could have been dealing with your heart for days about being lost. You say, preacher, pray for me. I need the Lord. I need to be saved. And you slip up a hand. Preacher, that's me. I'm lost. I'm lost, preacher. Anybody? Amen. Preacher, I'm lost. Child of God. Child of God, the battle's raging. Man, this war's intensified. 37 years have been saved. 32 of that have been preaching the gospel. It has intensified in the last 5 and 10 years than the first part of my Christian life. Because I, in my heart, I wonder if Satan doesn't know his days are numbered. And man, he's made an onslaught against the home, against the church, against us as individual Christians. And I wonder, is there a Christian here today? Say, preacher, I want to be like those mighty men of valor. I want to die to be a Daniel. I want to do what would please the Lord. I see that hand. Hands are going up. Preacher, I do. I don't want to just sit on the pew and have the seat of do nothing. Lord, preacher, I want to serve God. Pray for me. Amen. I want us to stand this morning. This altar's up already. Folk are coming. I'm telling you, friend, we need some men and women that dedicate themselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need some young people to be on fire for God and go in that school. Quit conforming to the world and stand up and be different. Hey, we need some folk down at the job like that. While we're singing, this altar's open. Preachers, you better make up your mind now. Will you stand? Will you cower down? But I'm telling you, we're going to have days ahead we never dreamed. We're going to have to just dig in and fight the good fight of faith for the glory and honor of God while we're singing.